Okay, we're continuing in the Drasha Saran. We're in the 11th Drasha, the Drasha Echadasar, the Maksadar of Crooks, on page Taf Chaf. So the last time we were talking about the Ran's explanation of the purpose of having a king in the Jewish people, and what was wrong with the Jewish people asking for a king, because as the Ran explained, society needs a king to function. The Jewish people need shoftim, they need judges to judge based on the Torah law, but we also need a melech to have because if we only had the Torah law, murder could be rampant because you need to aid them and you need to be warned, and so many, a lot of halachas are right for a religious and just and upright society, but sometimes not everybody's like that. So the mitzvah of having a king was to take care of the secular issues of making sure that there's the murderers get taken care of. So you need a king for certain things. So if that's the case, the Ran had said, if there's a great mitzvah to have a king, what was so bad about the Jewish people asking for a king? So he had quoted the pasuk where the Jewish people had said that we would like a king, l'shaftenu k'chol ha'goyim, to judge us like all the nations. And we were in the middle of the Ran explaining. It was how they asked for it, the words they chose. What was their issue was the fact that they said l'shaftenu k'chol ha'goyim, and that was the problem. They wanted to be judged like all the goyim, and not, as in judged like by the king, not by the shoftim, and that was the problem. And they had complained, the Jewish people had complained that the sons of Shmuel was the shofet at the time, and they didn't want, Shmuel was going to die eventually, and his sons were not at his level. So they said, your sons aren't you, and therefore we want to be judged just by a king without the judges, and that was the problem. So this is the round where we left off. They made a big mistake with this, the Jewish people. The sons of Shmuel, it's true they were not great tzaddikim like Shmuel was. Still, they were not people who did not do proper judgment. They didn't give out crooked judgments. Like it says in the Gemara, anyone who says that the sons of Shmuel were sinners, he's making a mistake. When Shmuel got old, he made his sons shoftim. And the pasuk says that his sons didn't go in his ways. They didn't go quite exactly in his ways. But it doesn't say they sinned. The pasuk says, we're saying, the Gemara is now saying, even though it says that the sons of Shmuel didn't go in his ways, but they weren't as great as he was. They didn't quite go in his ways, but they weren't Rishayim. So what does it mean then? The pasuk says, though, Vayatu Acharei Abatza, that the sons of Shmuel went after a prophet, and they took Vayikchu Shochad, they took briberies, Vayatu Mishpat, and they messed up the judgment. So that sounds like they were Rishayim. So the Gemara explains, Shlo Asu Kamase Avim. It doesn't mean that they literally took bribes. It means that they didn't do like their father. Shmuel HaTzadik mechazer b'chol mekom Yisrael v'danam b'arem. Shmuel HaTzadik used to go from city to city to be to judge the Jews in their cities, wherever they were. Shneamer v'savev beis el v'hagalgal v'hamitzvah v'shafet Yisrael, that Shmuel ran all around town, all around the Jewish people to judge them. Fehem l'vasukin, the sons of Shmuel didn't travel. Ela yeshu b'arem, they sat in their city. K'di l'har b'schar l'chazaneim l'sofrem, so that they could give parnasa to their local sofrim who had to write the judgments, things like that. It wasn't that they gave out crooked judgments. So at least having them as shoftim, the fact that they would judge the Jews properly based on what the Torah says. So then the Hashem Shechina would be shora on them and on the Jewish people. And the Jewish people were giving up on them just because they weren't as holy as their fathers to travel all around. The real issue was that the Jewish people weren't interested in having shoftim. They wanted to just have a regular secular law with the king in charge making up things that make sense for their society. The Yishuv would have said, we want a king because we need a king. If all they would have said is make us a king, if all they would ask Shmuel is for a king, or if they just would have asked Shmuel for a king so that he could lead them in war, That wouldn't have been a sin. If the Jews would have asked that we want a king, that would not have been a sin. Aval mitzvah. Not only that, it would have been a mitzvah to ask for a king. The sin was, they asked that we want a king so that we could be judged like everybody else, like all the other nations. They wanted the rules to be coming from the king, which means basically a secular type law. Not from the shoftim who follow the Torah's laws directly. And what shows that what the Ran just said is true is the psukim afterwards that it says, this is Shmuel was very unhappy when he heard this. What was Shmuel upset about? That they said, give us a king, lishavtenu, to judge us. Lo amar, the pasuk does not say, kasher amru tana lanu melech, that it was banned in his eyes that they said, give us a king, belvad. Kilo amr kain, because if they just would have said, give us a king, lo hayu rabbeinu, he wouldn't have had a problem with that. Of Masha Hukshalo, what was bothering Shmuel is by Asher Amru Lishavtein, the fact that he said, we want a king to judge us, meaning you don't want Shoftin, you don't want the Torah's laws at all. And that's really what makes the Shechina Bishar and Klai Yisrael following the Torah's halacha, the judgments that are prescribed in the Torah. So that's what he had a problem with. That's why Hashem says to Shmuel, Kilo oschama asu. Shmuel, don't take it personally, it's not that they don't like you. Ki osima asu. Hashem says they don't like me, they're disgusted with me, Mimlochalem, to be king on them. Kalamar, what that means to say is, Kihem Bochim Yoser Bitikun and Yanamativi, they'd rather have something that works in this world, laws that work better for them in this world, Mishiachalem Hainin Alokiv, than from having the Shechina Shora on them, following the rules of God. So when Shmuel gave them Musar, they didn't completely change their minds, but they made it a little bit better. Lomar, to say, so in other words, when Shmuel talked to Jewish people and said, you, that was not right what you asked, so Jewish people didn't change their mind completely. They just said, they don't only want a king so that they can make up secular rules, but they need him also to run the wars. And that's what they said. We will also be like the nations, v'shavtenu malkenu, and our king will judge us. The yetzi lefenenu v'nelcham is melcham osenu, and he'll also run our wars. That's why Shmuel gave the Musar afterwards. V'amr and said, kamatayis yatzvur u'ez hadavar ha'gadol azeh asher Hashem osa le'inechem. You should see Shmuel's, his response to them is, a little while later, you should stand up and see the great thing that Hashem does before your eyes. And Shmuel says, I'm about to show you a miracle. Hello, Ktzir Chitim Ayom. Today is a day of harvesting. Ekrel Hashem v'yitein kolos u'matar. And days of harvesting usually are not rainy days. And Shmuel says, watch, I'm going to make a miracle. Today's a day it should be a heart scorcher. I'm going to make it thunder and lightning and pour. Pirish. So what does that mean? De'u, Shmuel was trying to tell them, De'u ki shagagtem asher b'chartem b'mash yira b'enechem mitikun sidur n'yanechem hativim. Shmuel is saying, look, you guys are completely off. You think life would be better if you had more secular natural laws. So, she'enokin, it's not true. Aval hidavik b'enin eloki, you're much better off attaching yourselves to spirituality, to God, to have the Shechina bishar with you. Because God, he changes nature when he wants to. Because today is a day that would make sense to harvest. Naturally, this is not a day where it should rain. But because I, Shmuel, am a Navi, and Hashem Shechina Asher on me, I'll just daven to Hashem and I'll change it. It'll pour. Therefore, Shmuel says, Jewish people, you're not better off with the physical thing. It makes more sense to you with what you see, that if Hashem Shechina is with you, you just daven to Hashem and things change to what they need to change to. So it's better to be connected to God. And then what we're talking about now is having the mishpat of the shoftim, the judgments so that the Torah prescribes that the shoftim do, which is called a mishpat tzedek, a judgment of righteousness, mimishpatei ha-malchus ha-shenasis kirtono, that's better off than the judgments of the king that are made based on the king's will. Shezeh hevdel sh'arbein ha-shofet v'ha-melech, because this is the difference between a judge, a shofet, and a melech, a king. Shezeh yoser mishubet the mishpatei ha-torah me-ha-melech, that the shofet is more mishubet, is more required to follow what the Torah, the laws of the Torah in terms of judgment, than the king. The king can make up his own stuff to help the society function, but the shoftim do not have that leeway. They have to follow exactly what the Torah says. And this, incidentally, is why the king has a special mitzvah to have a sefer Torah with him at all times. And this is what the pasuk says. When the king sits on his throne, because of law, he must write himself a sefer Torah. For that sefer Torah that the king writes must be with him at all times. For has to read it all the days of his life. Lest his heart become high, he become haughty, and built surim in a mitzvah, lest he go away from the mitzvah. That's why he has to keep the Torah with him. Why would a king do that? So the Ran is saying, one of the reasons why a king needs to write a sefer Torah and keep it with him at all times is because he sees that he doesn't have to follow the Torah completely, at least when it comes to judgments. Like a judge does. So he needs extra special warning to not go away from the Torah mitzvos. Lest he become haughty because of the power invested in him by God to make up his own rules that are outside the Torah. But a shofet doesn't need any of these special rules. The shofet doesn't need even though he has power, a shofet doesn't have a mitzvah to carry a Torah with him wherever he goes. Because his power is limited, he can only do what the Torah says. Because the judges need to judge the Jewish people, a mishpat tzedek, that special mishpat that only comes from following the Torah. Okay, so that's the Ran's drasha about what the purpose of a king is, what the sin of the Jews were by asking for a king, and what the specialness is of having shoftim judge us. So the pasuk is now going back to the where we started from, which is Parsha Shoftim. So the Torah warns the judges, do not go away from doing a correct judgment in any way. Ka'omro, as it says, Osata Mishpat, do not bend or tilt the judgment. V'yishiru od, and it warned him further, Shelo yikach hashocha, do not take bribes. Gam lishpat mishpat emes, even to take a bribe and then to judge properly. Ka'omra v'lasikach shochad, ki hashochad yahaver inei chachamim yitalef daveri tadikim. Because, as the pasuk says, do not take bribes, because bribes blind the eyes of the wise, and they are misalef, they subvert, they ruin, they destroy the words of tzaddikim. The Kasser Rabbi Sein Ozal, Chazal tell us, Ki ha-shochad ya'aver, bribery blinds, mi shekibal shochad mimeno, someone who accepts a bribe from someone, I efshu shlayat elibo betanos alhapech b'schuso. It is impossible, if you take a bribe from one side, it is impossible that you're not going to be looking out for a way to make that guy win. Even if you won't, judge falsely, but you're not thinking straight. V'salif divrei tzaddikim, and it destroys the words of tzaddikim. Dvarim hamutzudakim mishpatei emes. It ruins a correct judgment. V'huskak Rashi the Farishkin. So Rashi has to say this to explain Ya'aver eni chachamim and salif divrei tzaddikim slightly differently. K'dei shlo yehei davar echad nichbo shtei pavim, so that shouldn't be the same thing repeated twice. Lachem Pirsh, therefore Rashi says, She'omri ya'aver eni chacham. So therefore Rashi explains that when it says that bribery blinds the eyes of the wise, eino rotzu lomer b'gemara din, it doesn't mean it blinds the eyes of the wise after the, at the time of actual final judgment. It's talking about during the court case. That's the first thing. The first thing, it blinds the eyes of the wise. During the court case, the judge will keep thinking, how can I make him win? Let me think, does he have a way that he can win this way? So it messes him up while the court case is going on. Like the story with Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, that's mentioned in the Gemara, the Kamer Bahadit Ka'azov Asi, as Rabbi Yishmael was going, Amri Ibai Tain Hachi, Vibai Tain Hachi. Gemara says he kept saying to himself, he was the judge, and he kept thinking to himself, oh, why didn't this guy claim this? Why didn't this guy say like that? In other words, he caught himself trying to defend the guy who he had gotten some benefit from. It's a Gemara in Ksuvas Kufay. And because the judge, once he takes the bribe, is going to be thinking the whole time how he can help the guy he took the gift from, now you get to stage two. Since he spent the whole time of the court case thinking about how he could help the guy, it'll mess up the final judgment. That's the Yisalef Divri Tzadikim, will mess up the final judgment. Something he would have judged properly will now be subverted. So das Rashi Zal, that's how Rashi understands it. Okay. And the Ran says, I have a different shot. I want to tell you another pshat in this pasuk, kihu monea shochad afilo tia kavanosa lishpot mishpat tzedek. The Torah is telling you cannot take a bribe even to judge properly mipnei shnei dvarim, because of two reasons. Echa, number one, sheish lacha shah shochad ya averi neisichlo. Number one, you can't take a bribe even to judge properly. You can't take money from someone. You know, if one of the people wants to give you money to judge properly, you cannot do that because it'll blind your seichel. You won't think straight. The gam ki yachshav ladun din emes la'amito yavsenu. Even if you think you're going to do a correct judgment, you think, okay, look, I'll take the money, but I'm still going to judge properly. You're not. It doesn't work that way. Zeh omru ki ashochid yaveri nechacham. That's the first part of the pasuk, that bribery blinds people's eyes. They think they're judging correctly. Even though they intend to judge correctly, they're just saying, I'll take the gift, big deal. I'll still judge properly. I'll make the guy lose if he needs to lose. Doesn't work that way. Your mind is not going to be 100% honest. But then there's another reason. When it says Yisalef Divrei Tzadikim, that's referring to something a little bit different. Kolomer, that means to say, even if you are judging correctly, let's say you actually did judge correctly, you got lucky. Whatever the case is, you got lucky. You know, you took a bribe, and everybody knows it, but the truth is, you know, whichever, the guy who took the bribe from was right. Happens to be he's right. Or whatever the case is, you actually happen to have judged correctly. Still, Yia Nira, the mission is Chayiv Bedino, but the guy who's going to lose is going to think, Sha Shofi the obvious Mishpat Mimplei HaKesef Sharlakach. He's going to think the only reason he lost is because you, Shofi, took a bribe. Or got some benefit from the guy. Right? Doesn't, when we say bribe, it's always important to remember, a judge taking a bribe doesn't necessarily mean that the guy gave him $100 and said, make me win. It could just be that he does something nice for the guy, you know, it's his business partner, or in some other way he benefits him, he gets something from the guy. It doesn't have to be a direct bribe. It could just be that the judge has some type of benefit from one of the people in the court case. Any of those things blind their eyes. So the thing is, even if the judge happens to judge correctly, the guy who loses is going to think, oh, that's because he does favors for him. Because the Ran is telling us the way a proper Torah, based in Torah judgment, is supposed to be, is that both people walk out of there happy. Meaning that doesn't mean they're both going to win, one of them is going to lose, but both should walk out happy that the Torah was followed and they did the Ratzon of Hashem, and you know, everything went correctly. Kamer Misanhedrin, Bepare Kam, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hu David Tekazel, Demedina Shakli Glime, Zamer Ba'azel Borcha. That there was a guy, he left Basin, he had lost, they took his cloak and he was singing in the streets. Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a pasuk, everyone will be at peace with the proper Beis Din. In other words, you could lose, but you're happy to lose. You're happy because the correct judgment was done. You know, you followed the Torah. You did what you were supposed to do, even though you lost. You know, you followed the Torah. So people should walk out of there happy in that sense. But if they think that that's not quite what happened, and they think Hashem Shechina wasn't Shorah in that Beis Din because they saw you get benefit from the guy, so then that's gone. So that's another reason not to take a bribe, even to judge properly. Because then what happens is that even if you're right, it makes you wrong. Because the guy who's going to lose is not going to say, yeah, okay, man, you know, that's because you took a bribe. So the word then v'yisalef is like similar to what we say in Mishlei, which says maskel tzaddik lebeis rasha, that the tzaddik understands the house of the rasha. Misalef rasha'im lara, he subverts rasha'im to evil. Shapirusho shemitoch sha'tzaddik meivin v'yodea roa ma'aleha rasha, because the tzaddik understands and knows the evil ways of the rasha. Hum misalef umata pa'olav lara, so he makes things, the Russia's actions be bad, gam kir ma'aleim shehem tovim. Even things that look like the Russia's doing a mitzvah, this guy who knows this guy is so evil, so it looks like he's doing good, but the guy who knows him well knows that he's doing bad. It looks good, but he's really doing bad. That's what it means. Maskel tzaddik lebeis Russia, a tzaddik who knows a guy is a Russia. So misalef rishayim lera, he changes what looked good to bad. The tzaddik understands that what the Russia did that looked good is really bad. And here too, Afkan, it's the opposite. The bribe is going to change what was correct to be incorrect. It's similar. Something had happened to have been correct, it was correct din, but the shochad will be misalif it. It'll change it. It'll make something that looked good, it'll change it bad. In other words, even though it was correct, it'll make it bad in that since you took a bribe. The person who loses will change what would have been a correct judgment into something that appears to be evil. Now here's a little bit of a diktuk for it. I'm no diktuk expert, but we'll just read what it says. The vayisalef is a poel yotze. Poel yotze means something that caused something to someone else. In this case, yisalef means it'll cause the person, the judge, to act incorrectly. Now, it's funny. In that way, it's yotze. It makes someone else do something. Even though a pol dagish is what we would call PL. So even though you have a similar expression in that same pasuk where it does not mean that it'll cause someone to do anything, kemo ya'averi nei chachamim. Ya'averi nei chachamim doesn't mean that the chacham's going to do anything. It just means his eyes are blinded. That's something that's not yotze, it stays in him. That's the chazik ha'pula, that's to say it was a strong action. But v'salef is a po'al yotze, meaning that it will cause the person to act, to do something wrong. Okay, again, I'm not a big diktuk expert, but the point here is that the Ran understands that it'll cause the person who lost the case to change, to make what looked good into looking bad. So that's another reason why he can't accept a bribe, and we will stop here.